In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs, because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
That's right, guys. We are back. It is another episode of the Digital Soup Podcast. I am usually Dave, joined as always by Adam.
Word up.
Word up. And I figured, he made a big stink about it. Yeah, last time he said we fired him, which is not true. We've got Jason back finally. How you doing, man?
Guess who's back? Back again.
Yeah, it's me. I'm back, people.
Wow.
That's right. I'm back.
He spent all weekend spicing that together.
That's probably why he had to miss last show, was so he could put that little clip together for us.
Yeah, the little 2-second clip there. Yeah, it took me a week, man. 2 weeks, man, to do it.
A lot of planning.
I wasn't in last time. I was busy editing that.
Yes, right. I mean, I edited it per the microsecond. That's how precise I was. I had to, man. It had to be good. Yeah, the peeps wanted me back, man. They cried because I wasn't here.
That's not what I heard. We've got a smorgasbord of different topics today.
I love smorgasbords.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry. Awesome. Thanks a lot, dude.
Yeah.
Brought to you by.
I'm trying to think of a buffet place that's even open anymore.
Old Country Buffet, maybe?
That closed. Anymore. That closed in Duluth.
I
live in Ohio, and I know that. My dad. Yeah,
you probably do keep up on restaurant trends.
You're the guy. That's why we're asking you.
They call me the Yelp master.
Right.
Yelp.
Is Golden Corral or something like that? I see commercials.
Yeah,
for that.
Over here. We got them over here.
Are they a buffet place?
Yes. Yeah. They were just like the Old Country Buffet.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have any of those around here, but
there's still a Bonanza down in St. Cloud. That's pretty good.
We don't have any Bonanzas. They all closed. It was pretty sad too because we liked them.
I think all we got is China buffets around here.
Oh, we got lots of Chinese buffets around here.
Delicious.
Yep, rice is cheap. Wonder,
what do you think is the biggest buffet place down in, say, like Dallas?
Oh boy,
Dallas.
It's gotta be steak, right?
No, surprisingly, it is probably Mugugai Pan. They're really big into their Asian.
Mongolian goulash. That's a Minnesota thing, man.
Goulash.
Hot dish and goulash.
Actually, goulash, though, that is foreign. What is that? That's what country makes goulash? Where'd that come from?
Minnesota.
No. That's a state, by the way.
I don't know for sure. I would guess.
Goulash. Like I'm looking it up.
Originating from the medieval kingdom of Hungary.
Booyah. Shotgun go through.
Back when they had macaroni noodles and hamburger.
That's right.
And tomato sauce.
It looks like the number one on Yelp buffet in Dallas, Texas is the Sura Korean Bistro.
Oh, it was.
I wasn't too far off. I said Asian.
All you can eat Korean barbecue buffet. Guys, stop on down there. Check it out. It's a great place. I've never been there.
Sounds good. Man, you had a little bit of Trump in you there, buddy. Yeah.
That buffet is going to be huge.
Huge.
It's going to be the best of all time. Believe me.
Yeah.
So I guess let's get
to
the
first. He
does
get hungry
story.
When he's building that wall along the border there.
Well, in Dallas there, yeah. Something happened in Dallas, I hear.
They could incorporate a buffet into the wall.
Ooh, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, you're right. Something did happen in Dallas recently. There was a
Something with Tony Romo, right? I thought you were talking about Tony Romo retiring.
No, this the Dallas Sirens were, and that sounds like a sports team, maybe. But there, somebody had
it actually
girls.
Does.
Yeah, the Dallas Sirens. That'd be great.
We are.
This just in.
So, the Dallas sirens.
Dallas's 156 emergency sirens blared in unison and unsettled many of the city residents, and they sounded about 15 times in all, with each signal lasting 90 seconds. All the while with no tornado in sight. They were instead triggered by, as of right now, still unknown hackers who also managed to poignantly, if unintentionally, raise awareness about the threat of infrastructure insecurity. Emergency systems get hacked all the time, according to this article in Wired. This one just happened to wake people up. So what time did they actually do this? Did you guys see that at all?
I
didn't see it in the article. But man, I would first thing I would think, you know, with the duration and how many sirens went off, I would think more like air raid almost instead of a tornado. I'd be like getting down into my bunker, you know, with all my rations and my water and everything, and start loading my shotgun. That's what I would have been doing.
Shotguns are highly effective against airplanes too.
They are. Well, I actually have. I can't remember what they're called.
Maximum range.
But
I got to
put the powder
yards.
In it and the little ball, and then I got to pound it down. A musket.
Black powder.
Yeah, I got a musket. Yeah.
Shoot,
take them out
with
a
musket.
Put your
shotgun up at a plane. Sounds like somebody threw some light sand against the bottom of the
plane. Dang, I knew I shouldn't have used birdshot.
Yeah, no, you switch over to buckshot and you're in trouble.
Hey, my dad used to call me buckshot when I was a kid.
Yeah, cool. Mine too, actually.
What?
Your dad and my dad
are the same person?
No, his dad called you buckshot.
Oh, okay. That's perfect.
So. Yeah. There's the CEO of an email security specialist, Votiro, told Fox News that the hack bears the hallmarks of a white hat attack. And if you
what does that mean, like KKK or something?
Not pointed white hat.
Okay.
But when it comes to the hacking pieces, white hat hackers will demonstrate and hack without actually causing real damage.
Oh, sort of like a white lie. It's still a lie, but it's not as bad.
Well, think about... I'm going to get really nerdy here, but think about the original Final Fantasy where you've got the white wizard and the black hat guy.
I was the black wizard, by the way.
You were the black wizard
and the white-hatted wizard got along?
Probably. Probably didn't have the problems we have today. But anyway, what it goes to show.
I think Dave's, he's probably peeing his pants a little bit over there.
This just went so far.
That's as far as I'm going to go with a comment on.
You guys missed
society.
Me.
We did.
So anyway, one of the things that they're showing is that IT infrastructure can be weak and vulnerable to attack. So there's a lot of systems out there, whether it's sirens or water pumps or, I've seen demonstrations of a guy he had all the ability to take down windmills, like, you know, wind power. There was a city that had... these windmills, and just by Googling it, he found that the the make and model of this stuff and what the default settings were to get in, and so many times people don't change. It's kind of like when you buy your router,
right?
Or like a camera, a webcam or something like that, like an IP camera, where you're not actually changing your settings. You leave all those defaults in there. The whole world knows what those are.
Yeah.
And they can get in there and they can actually change settings and break things. So
did they do with the windmills? Just shut them off?
Well, the guy that was doing the presentation was from a security firm out of the cities, and he just kind of showed that he could get into it, and that had he really wanted to, he could have messed with it, because there were all kinds of settings for changing the gearing and power input and output and stuff like that. And what he showed was that the company had put a link to the manual on the same page that you are to log in.
Oh, man.
Well, inside the manual, they had marked the username and password in plain text to get in.
Oh, boy.
So it was like the equivalent of leaving that post-it note on your monitor.
Wait, you're not supposed to do that?
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
But anyway, what just kind of goes to show you, there's so many things that can be broken.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of dangerous out there to leave your default setting. So for a consumer, and you get your Internet of Things, you know, if you've got a smart TV or if you've got, you know, some kind of internet-connected appliance or something, always make sure you do as much security as you can on there. In other words, change your password to something strong and, you know, don't leave it sitting around and all that stuff. The interesting thing was when he did these presentations, he mentioned he was using a VPN in Russia to do all of his research. Nice. So,
Putin. Little Putin.
So I'm forming a theory about these Dallas hackers then. I'm starting to think that maybe it was the government itself wanting to, you know, bring attention. Some group in the the government's IT department proving a point like, look, we're vulnerable. Let's bring attention to this by pretending we got hacked, right? Maybe.
I think it's Kellyanne Conway, definitely. It's all her.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm on a different article here, and it says, this is not the first time the Dallas infrastructure has been targeted by hackers. Last year, several construction signs across the city were hacked, with one sign describing Donald Trump as a shape-shifting lizard. And then another one said Bernie Sanders for president and work is canceled, go back home. There's been the, I think somebody else hacked a sign that said like danger zombie outbreak or something like that.
Oh man, like the road signs and stuff. Yeah.
I think it was last year or the year before, there was one of the first, somebody was able to get into a city system and whatever their utility, public utility, the water control, they were able to turn the valve on and off. So they just kept doing that until the thing broke, I guess.
Oh man.
So it was one of the first documented cases where somebody actually hacked a city and actually broke something just through the network because everything's internet controlled. So be careful out there, folks. Yeah. The Dallas Sirens, though, sounds like a great team.
Definitely.
Hey, I gotta go back a little bit here on what you said here about calling Donald Trump a lizard. Do you remember a few years back? I mean, this was
The sign was.
Well, okay, exactly. You weren't. Yeah. It wasn't you. It was a sign. But a couple of years back, Louis C.K. did this whole thing where he was saying that Donald Rumsfeld, he was a lizard. Did you guys ever watch us or listen to it?
I vaguely remember something.
Oh, my God.
That.
It was so funny. He kept asking him if he was a lizard, you know, while he was talking to him.
Like face to face, I think.
Yeah, it was great. I think it was on a radio show, actually, but it was hilarious. And I wasn't here last Monday, unfortunately, but you brought up the thing with the windmills. And I don't remember if you guys mentioned it last week on Monday's show, but did for the April Fools, Google had that one windmill one. Did you see that?
No,
I didn't see that one.
Where they took all the windmills in Holland. So not Holland.
Eat some air.
It might have been Holland. Anyway, they're supposed to have, like, I don't know, like 6 months of rain or something like that. Bad weather for, like, so many months. Just constant rain. And what they did was, because they don't use the windmills anymore to generate electricity, they actually powered the windmills, every windmill in the country, to blow the clouds away.
I did see that.
Oh my God, it was hilarious. And people walking around and like everything's just getting blown everywhere.
Yeah, they blew all the bad weather away and then they just go, oh, you need a little water on your yard? Let me just turn this off here a little bit. And it's like raining in spots. All they need. Yeah, I did see that.
It's hilarious, man.
I think that was like Denmark or...
It was some country that had windmills and they didn't need them anymore.
Yeah,
oh, man. We're getting a lot of mileage out of April Fools.
Oh, I know. It's so much
fun. It keeps coming back.
Well, they did some really, I mean, we mentioned it on that show, and maybe it was last week, too. I can't remember. But, I mean, these companies really put a lot of effort in time and money into, you know, shooting some, you know, very real, like, you know, video footage and putting some stuff together effects-wise and everything to make a lot of this stuff just look so believable.
Yeah.
And it did, too. Google did a great job.
Yeah, it'd be, I mean, I think about where I work. I mean, obviously, they're not in the financial world. We're not the type that are going to be playing practical jokes on our customers. But you just think about how fun it would be to work for a company that, as a company, part of your ad campaign is like, all right, we've got April Fool's coming up in 6 months. We need a killer idea, just a prank that, you know, we can do. And I mean, that'd be such a fun place to work.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. Okay. So we got another news story here, or this isn't exactly news, but this is the Xbox One Game Pass.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's one game?
Yeah, I guess they're going to do one game, and then someone's going to pass on it. Oh, so
that's
what's
me.
Next?
I'm a PlayStation guy, so.
Well, let's first start out by saying that not one of us hosts have an Xbox One.
Right.
And
great
we're going to be
topic choice.
Yeah, but the Xbox One Game Pass, it did launch last week. I'm not sure exactly what day. What it is, it's a subscription, you know, service to like 100 or so games. Some are Xbox One, some are 360 games. It's not a streaming
360
service.
Games?
Yes, 300. Now, PS4 has something similar to this, but it's completely streaming. This is not streaming. You have these 100 games are available to you. You pick out the ones you want, you know, play them all you want, but you download them actually to your system and play them locally. There's no streaming, no nothing like that. Uh-huh. It's a pretty cool thing. It's only $10 a month. And they're going to be switching the games in and out, you know, as new games. They'll come into rotation, out of rotation, et cetera. Hmm. But what's really cool, say there's a game that you like, you subscribe to this for $10 a month, there's a game you like, you can actually go and purchase the full game for 20% off the full price. So you'd get the game, and then any downloadable content for that game, if you wanted to get that, also was 10% off all the downloadable content.
Well, my question is, because I don't know much about this, but how long do you get to play it, stream it, you know, or not stream it, but as a full download with Game Pass?
You know what? When I read the article earlier, for some reason, I think it said something like 30 days.
Huh. Okay.
I would have to go back into the article and read it. We'll put it in the show notes so everybody else can, you know, read it at their leisure. But yeah, it's something like 30 days or so. And yeah, I'm assuming you could download it again if it's still available. They're not going to rotate the games out every 30 days, but they will rotate some games out.
Probably like Netflix does, where they kick stuff off and bring new stuff in now and then.
Yeah. It, what I think is pretty cool about this is for those people that just don't have the money to spend on new games all the time.
Well, right.
$10 a month, that's $120 a year.
Right.
That's the cost of two games. You'll be able to play, you know, depending on how many games they cycle in and out, you could literally play 200-300 games a year.
Right. And if it is like 30 days, I mean, for a lot of people that do have a lot of time and that spend a lot of time gaming, I mean, 30 days, you're going to beat a game, you know, unless it's like, I think about some of the sports games and stuff, you may want to keep that longer if you're doing multiple franchises or, you know, whatever else. But I know even Madden Football, for me, I buy it every year and I play it for like a month, right, when football season starts, and then I don't touch it till maybe around the Super Bowl, play a couple of games, and then it sits there. So, I mean, even that would be awesome.
This kind of seems to me like a good opportunity if you're really into gaming to try a lot of different ones for low cost.
Absolutely. I mean, if I had an Xbox One, I would do this because I can't afford to buy games. I just can't. But I would pay $10 a month to, you know, play all the games I want to try. That'd be awesome. So I say, hey, way to go, Xbox One. You're blowing PS4 away with this. Streaming. I tried streaming before. Do you guys remember, what was it called? On Live. Do you remember On Live a few years back?
No.
On Live.
It was a computer streaming where you could log in on your computer, play all the computer games. It played them on the high-end, you know, computers at the,
but,
you know,
but
whatever.
It's just streaming the video to you?
But it streamed the video to you. It was one of the first services like it. Definitely it was laggy. One of the articles I read on the Xbox One Game Pass is there was no lag, no discernible lag between key presses and the action. Where on Live it did. They also had a console you could buy, and actually got it for free because I subscribed for like I think 3 months, and they sent you the free console. And it was just a little box that you just hooked your Cat5 cable into. And hooked up to your TV with a controller, and I could play PC games on my TV. It was interesting, but the games were almost full price. You had to buy them. You weren't like doing a subscription service. They did have one of those, but I didn't do that, you know, because I don't know why I didn't do it at the time. But I was buying games when they were, you know, when they'd go on sale and stuff. I'd buy a few games here and there. Let's see, I probably had about 30 games because I bought a lot of games for like $2, $3, $5, you know, because I'd wait for them to get really cheap. The service is gone. It had left a few years ago. They closed it down, shut it down. So now all those games that I did purchase, you know, they're just, you know, out in the cosmos of the internet, just floating around. Ooh, they're in the Speed Force, and nobody knows where they're at.
I do.
You know.
Dave knows the Speed Force.
That one's over my head, but on Live.
It's Flash, dude. Come on.
It's the Flash, man.
You got to stop watching those reruns of Golden Girls and watch something good, Adam.
They stand the test of time, guys.
Man.
A service like On Live, you know, the real inhibition is the real problem there is if it's lag, that was the real problem. And
yeah, it was
poor libraries.
It was pretty bad
who
sometimes.
Knows? I mean, as we increase, I mean, we were talking about 5G earlier and the increase in broadband speed and lowering the latencies. That might come back in the future, a service like that. You know, I'd say look out, it might. Speaking of games, Dave shared an interesting link with us on the, was it the Pirates?
Oh, yeah, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball.
And they've
thought you were talking about of the Caribbean.
No.
Where's the Caribbean? Right. I call it Caribbean. What do you guys call it?
Caribbean.
I call it someplace I'll probably never see.
All right, well, tell me about the Pittsburgh Pirates, which is about an hour away from me. Go ahead.
That's all it is. You got. You should go.
Yeah,
check.
Yeah, I'm an hour away from Pittsburgh,
dude.
Yeah.
You got to go check that. Easy. Sound effects, guy. Well, look, no, you need to go check this out in person. Then I think get some pictures maybe so you can share it with our listeners here. But what they did in the off season, they went in and did a major overhaul to their stadium. Stadium is called PNC Park. And basically what they did is
that's a bank for people who don't know.
Right.
And so for prenatal care.
It does.
Yeah, fits for a baseball stadium, pro athletes. You never know. I mean, we're not judging. But Adrian Peterson in football has, what, 27 kids? I don't know. Just saying. But anyways,
saying we're saying.
They made in their right field wall, they made a huge touchscreen in here. And this thing is 11 feet high, 136 feet long, all touchscreen integrated. And what's really cool, they do this, it sounds like between innings and stuff, they'll bring a fan or somebody out there to run through a board of Super Mario Brothers. And they have them out there when the bricks are there, the people have to jump and it'll, you know, hit the coins as usual, all that kind of stuff. If it releases something like, say, a mushroom power up or whatever else, they touch the screen and do this. There's a video at the website, SB Nation, where I saw this, where you can watch someone going through and playing this live. It's not a long article, really a small thing, but the video is what it's all about because this thing is pretty awesome. And then I guess when it's time to play ball, it's a big LED touchscreen. Like I said, it just reverts back into the regular scoreboard you're used to seeing out in the outfield wall. So
pretty impressive.
So do you think people are actually going to the stadium to play Super Mario Brothers, or do you think they might be going there because of...
Was that the sound of somebody falling on their head and getting cheered?
Yep. Definitely
coconut
was.
Coconut being cracked.
No, she grabbed my coconuts and then she ran away.
Oh, boy.
She grabbed my coconuts and didn't even stay. Oh, why? Tell me why. Would you want to make a grown man cry?
And we're losing subscribers.
And
I don't know. My singing's pretty good.
Yeah. So what do you guys want to talk about next?
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Oh, man.
I'm just in a singing mood for some reason.
You're singing a lot, and that's kind of a topic you had put in for last week, and you couldn't make it, so Adam and I skipped it.
So probably like Sir Mix-a-Lot, maybe?
Well, yeah, you're throwing in some 90s, 90s jams here. Why don't you tell us about the thought you had going on? Well, might be a little bit of a rant, I guess you could say, but let's hear it.
Here's the
thing. Keep it family friendly, though.
It was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Here's my normal routine. When I go to bed at night, you know, a lot of people, they might read a little bit, et cetera.
I put on some lotions.
Yes.
Put some lotion in the basket.
I grab my iPad mini, and I usually hit, like, Facebook, and I'll hit, you know, now I hit Reddit, thanks to you guys. I'm kind of addicted to it.
Cool.
Thanks to Adam, because I don't use Reddit still.
Yeah. Oh, I use it. I love it, man. But I would always check out all the trending videos on YouTube. Right. And some of like, you know, I love like the Daily Shows and Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Fallon, you know, all their little skits that they do and stuff. I love that. But one of the trending videos was, how do you pronounce her name? It's, I know Iggy, but is it Azalea?
Yep, Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea.
And not Iglesias.
Yeah. And it was a video called Mole Bounce. Now, yeah, I... Awful. Don't know the lyrics, and any of our listeners who are kind of interested in this, definitely go watch the video just Google the lyrics. But I'm going to tell you here, I did not really mind that Iggy Azalea song, The Fancy. There was just, you know, like Dave said, it was an earworm for him.
Yeah,
I always say that, don't I?
Yeah, I love it. Fancy was one my daughter loved.
My kids, too. The Kids Bop version. Nope. That's how I heard it. And then, of course, I'd hear the original one, which, yeah, my kids can't listen to that version.
Well, it had a hook.
Yeah, it did. It was kind of, I'm so fancy.
Well, it was more like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. And you're like, oh.
Real similar time as Royals came out, too, with a similar feel.
Yep. And I kind of liked Royals, too. And I first heard of that because of the Kids Bop and then saw the original. But,
and Jimmy Fallon.
Pitcher that. you know, picture Fancy and right. how you know, it's not that bad. You know, it's an okay song, kind of catchy in parts.
Right.
The entire other end of the spectrum would be Mo Bounce.
Right.
There's absolutely no substance to it. All it is her talking about butts and twerking. Shaking them and twerking. That's right. The whole video. And what's kind of disturbing is they keep having images of it looks like 7 and 8 year olds constantly doing it. Yeah. Did you see that?
And I mean, you guys probably turned it off.
There's a lot of F-bombs seconds and stuff
through there, and it was kind of just. So, it wasn't my thing. I shut it off right away.
You know,
it's not good. Not good, no. People. But here was my thought on this, because you know, women have been fighting for you know, to be looked at as more of sex objects for so long.
More of sex objects?
More than, I think.
Yeah. How can I make myself more of a sex object?
Well, I was thinking Mo Bounce, but no, more than just sex objects.
Right.
You know, want to be seen as equals. They don't want, and a lot of women, they actually turn their nose to other women who will utilize their sexuality to get what they want, et cetera, because I think we don't have to resort to that. We are just as good as anybody else.
Right.
Take us for our own merits, our own, you know, skill set, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about this. I started thinking about all the
dangerous.
Yes. When I'm thinking, it gets scary.
Yep.
But I started thinking about it, you know, all the different female artists over the years who have, you know, had a quote butt songs, unquote.
Right.
Or should I say quote unquote butt songs? But then you put both quotes in the front of butt and nothing after the end of the songs. Yeah. So I think it's quote butt songs, quote.
Okay,
what do you guys time.
Like? Welcome to grammar time.
Okay. You
know, well, we'll look at it as kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment, but maybe we...
I like that cheek. I just got it. I was almost as slow as Adam there.
Just about.
Oh, man.
So anyway, yeah, so you're seeing a lot of different artists talking about El Rompo.
Right.
And we did make a list. Does somebody want to read the list of, I mean, this is not all encompassing, yeah. I'm sure.
I can read through it if you want.
This is just some of them that, you know, we had found. So go ahead, Dave.
All right. So what you've got on this list is Anaconda by Nicki Minaj, which of course sampled heavily from Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back.
The original butt song.
Yep, the original. And that was another one. I thought the song was ridiculous. I remember seeing the video when it came out, and it's like, what's the point of this? The music wasn't good.
Which one?
Anaconda.
Okay.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, no, the Sir Mix-a-Lot one is, you know, awesome. That's that my anthem. Still,
everybody knows that one.
Well, yeah, and it still goes over huge. You know, people still love it when they hear it. Guy, girl, doesn't matter. Yep. It's still just a fun song.
But. And they always say that when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist, and a round thing in your face, you get... Go ahead, Adam.
And then the next one is Booty by Jennifer Lopez featuring Iggy Azalea.
I thought that was kind of funny. So Iggy helped Jennifer with hers, and they go, yeah, I'm going to do one better.
I'm not familiar with that.
Right.
Neither am I. I just, when I was Googling, it had the name Booty. It might be about pirates and their treasure. I have no idea.
That's what I thought when I read it. It's like,
arg me matey.
No, All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor, is that really a butt song?
It is.
Is that what that is?
Oh, bass stands for bass without the B.
The low end, yeah. And when you listen to it, there's references to, you know, make that booty shake and things like that. You know, guys like a little more to hold on to at night.
I never really thought that deep into that one.
Yeah, I never thought that deep, but it's right up front in the lyrics on that. If you give it a listen through and you'll hear it. And
well, I was going to say, okay, there is no artist that writes any deeper lyrics than Meghan Trainor. Just, I'm throwing that out there.
Well, I think they can be topped by My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas.
Right. Another one where it's like,
milk with a cocoa puff, milky, milky ride. And then they left that in the mix. And they're like, that's good. We'll take that one.
Yeah, good take.
Yeah.
What about who was the other one that was similar to that? But no, I lost it. I forgot. Anyways, Milkshake. That's what it was.
Oh yeah,
not a butt song, but
my milkshake brings the boys to the yard.
Yeah.
My milkshake is better than your milkshake is better.
And that's another one though. You saw a lot of little kids. in that video and in the song, a lot of kids singing it.
Well,
and
kids
stuff.
Love milkshakes.
And
you know?
It's like, wow, what a difference.
Should have been a commercial for a fast food restaurant like that Arby's Jamocha shake.
Yeah, I want to say that it's been used recently because it's been a number of years since that came out. And I want to say that the actual artist actually was was it in the Super Bowl maybe or around that time where it was maybe like a drink milk campaign or something like that. I can't remember, but I want to say I saw it in some ads, actually.
You know, my thought on this is that this stuff sells to a certain market.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people hear the stuff, and if it's like that club age, you know, they're in the clubs, and all of a sudden, oh, is that Mo Bounce? That's my jam.
Right.
That's my jam. How could Mo Bounce ever be somebody's jam?
Nobody's jam.
You will have people out there, I guarantee you, that just love it.
Yep.
For whatever reason. And that's the weird thing about this whole list. The songs themselves, okay, we've got some examples. They're not the specific target. And not that there's a target, but the weird thing is when you think about the marketing and these people on, like you say, they're trying to hit a certain demographic because it sells. Who are they trying to hit? Is it trying to get guys, young adult guys into this music? Is it trying to target those same, you know, 16 to 25 range of age women who, that's what I can't figure out, is who is that really hitting? But you know, the thing is, Adam, you and I are musicians. We a lot of times, maybe you're the same, I'm not sure, but my wife makes fun of me all the time because I can hear a song once and I just remember words, you know. They just stick with you sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on the song.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that they will listen to the same song and just love it, and they'll tell everyone, oh, I love this song, so it's my favorite song. And you ask them to sing along or, you know, tell you what the words are, and they have no clue because they just don't even hear the words. You know, they're just hearing the beats and the rhythms and, you know, that side of the formula. So maybe it's just something where they just don't even care about the lyrics.
So you're kind of thinking of like, you got to lick it before we kick it?
yeah. I mean, that's, you look at though, think of it this way.
Rap is just words put to music.
Oh, man, there's a throwback.
I think these songs have a groove.
You know, that goes deep with us there, Adam. You don't even know about that story.
Deep cuts there, yeah.
That's all right. I don't need all your inside jokes.
Well, this was someone else.
That was Love of Dave's life. Though. I mean,
no. Jeez.
All right.
Anyway,
I wonder if she's listening.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Hey,
Dave's talking. I'm guessing he's pretty excited about that. Yeah.
Hey, just
Jason's fault.
Yeah, I want to derail it here a little bit because
weren't already.
No, because this makes me laugh so much. I just got to say this, Ice-T. What's with this people, man? Lemonade. Read the sign. Lemonade. Yeah. Read it.
Those commercials are pretty.
I love Ice-T.
Yeah. Well, you look at a song like Mo Bounce, and to me, it almost feels like, hey, we're in the studio, we're just kind of, you know, brainstorming. We've got this beat we like. How would words sound over this? You know, where you kind of just do like ba da da ba ba da. You know, sometimes if you're writing music, you'll just kind of mumble or just general sounds. You're not actually writing the words yet. You just want to hear how lyrics would sound over that beat or that rhythm sometimes. And this almost sounds like, yeah, someone was screwing around with like
I'm looking up
fake
the lyrics
lyric
right
track.
Now.
Yeah, they're screwing around with something.
And could
like
you
that.
Read those like
no.
What's
not,
what's that guy on PBS that interviews authors and what is his name?
Oh, the Author's Corner. What is his name?
Yeah, Richard that guy.
The one
read
that
the
Zach
lyrics
Galifianakis.
Like him. Yeah. Between two Zach ferns.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Between That's Two awesome. Ferns, man. It's hilarious. Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. And, you know, music, though, I think you're going to have fans of every genre. But it is kind of weird how, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to sound horrible coming from the three of us guys talking about
three
why
guys
women
like, oh,
do
why
this.
Don't... We don't
but
know.
I mean, I think it's true where, you know, you could think about any any social cause, you know, whether it's, I don't care what it is, you know, we don't want to get too political or too anything else, but it's weird when you see a group kind of, in a way, cannibalize themselves, but then you realize at the same time, are they really? Because this is a woman where, even though she's singing about this, that this stupid, horrible song, she could buy and sell us three times over because she's just loaded rich and super successful. You know what I mean? So who's the dummy here?
It's usually us. I think,
right?
There's a lot of people that just want to get done, go out and have fun, and this is their kind of music, and that's just kind of the way it is. And it's mind numbing, but it's
that kind of music isn't the type you're going to get deep into. You're just going to be like, shots.
shots.
Yeah,
it's not. Everybody, like, you know what? This is the best writing of all time.
Wait, were you just singing Backstreet Boys? I heard you say everybody, and I thought...
Oh, no, I was doing the shots song.
Oh, I thought you were about to
do... I don't know what
do.
You're talking about, Dave.
Everybody.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Anyways, good tune. I'll admit it. It's got a good beat. Okay. You know.
And I can... Right with Hanson.
Moving on. We were talking last week a little bit about movies. We were talking about Stephen King's It trailer.
That's right.
Hey, can I go out on a limb here, though? Good.
No.
Can I go out of here? Just a quick
harness.
Just a quick limb before you get into this, Adam. I came to this realization earlier today, all right? I do not think there is a man, woman, or child alive today who has not at one time or another enjoyed a good movie.
Deep thoughts.
By Jack Handy.
Okay.
A little SNL in there.
I like it.
All right, go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry for derailing, but you know,
no. It was an interesting
you guys
thought.
Hired me back. This is what you got to deal with.
Yeah, you're still on probation.
Oh, right. Snap.
Well, anyway, there's a series that I haven't read that we mentioned before, the Dark Tower series that's coming out.
So good.
What do you guys know about this? Tell me.
Nothing. Do you know anything, Dave? I've never even heard of it.
What?
Moving on.
You couldn't even go along with it. Dude, now I haven't read all the books. I think Dave has read all the books.
I have a couple times.
I went up. I don't even think I finished Wasteland, but Blaine the Train, right? Wasteland? Blaine the Train?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Blaine the Train. I don't know. I've been through the series, I think, two or three times total.
And that's really surprising for somebody who doesn't like to get scared. Get Stephen King. I know it's not really scary, but
King. It brings in a little horror. It makes, you know, there are times in there where it's like, whoa, that was...
Well, the lobstrosity scared me.
You're reading it, and some of the themes and some of the things in there are just like, whoa, that's dark. You know, it really, really can get you to that point, but it's definitely more Stephen King's take on fantasy. You know, this was a series, he started it way back early in his career. I think he wrote the first two or three novels in the series early on. It was a story
Let me just add in here. I honestly think that he wrote the very first one when he was 19. I swear I read that someplace. First one when he was 19. I think he then didn't write the second one. I think it was decades later. I'm going to look it up. You keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, basically the first book, The Gunslinger, was inspired by a poem, The Child Roland Came or something, Came to the Dark Tower. I can't remember the exact name of it. I should know that. I'm going to have people yelling at me. But Child Roland to the Dark Tower Came by Robert Browning. And he wrote this way back. And Stephen King has another book out there. It's called On Writing. It's kind of his, let me take you behind the scenes and tell you about my process. And I can't remember if it was, I'm pretty sure it was in that book while he was talking about his writing process, and then in later Dark Tower books where he talks about this is the story that really just was in him, and it needed to come out. And then he had some things happen, stopped, and then came back to it because that story just wouldn't leave him alone. And so basically, you've got a pretty big cast. The film adaptation scheduled for release August 2017. Is it Idris Elba?
Okay.
Is that how you pronounce it? He's the.
I believe so.
He's playing the lead character of Roland, the gunslinger himself. And looks like, if I remember right, they are looking at, was it Matthew McConaughey as the man in black, who's
exactly,
the main
villain.
Exactly,
that's what I heard he is.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to say that in it, though.
Well, the weird thing is that character, and I, this is the thing, I'm a little nervous about it, although I have heard that they do have a TV series in the works also, and I'm hoping they kind of do it in a way where, I mean, this series is huge, 7, 8 books, I can't remember how many for sure, I think 7.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
You know, and you look at a series that big, and, you know, how do you fit that? You're obviously not going to compress 7 books, and these aren't small, short stories, they're full-length novels. You're not going to compress those into just one film. You're not even, you know, a lot of times going to compress one book into a single film. You'll see
exactly.
them do,
yeah.
you know, they'll do that, and they'll make one novel of this size into a trilogy, you know. And so I'm
hoping especially Wasteland. Look how thick Wasteland was. That could have been 3 easily.
Exactly. And I'm hoping that what happens is they do the film version, and it's going to kind of take the events of the beginning of the story and get you rolling on the path, and then the TV series will come out. It would be perfect, something like where Game of Thrones is, you know, on an HBO, Showtime, something like that, where they can get graphic, because it's definitely violent, definitely language. There's a lot of adult themes, and it'd be cool if they could take their time and put it out into a long-running series like that, and it would be perfect for that. And then if they wanted to... you know, release a couple movies throughout there to just make big productions out of these smaller things. But I don't know how that'll all work. It'll be interesting to see. But
so the scale of this, because I don't know this story at all. It sounds like it's huge based on what you guys are describing.
Right.
So are they? Have they said anything about how many? Is it right now? It's just one movie?
Well, all that we know is that there's one movie set to release in August. There's a TV series in the works, and I assume later movies as well, unless, Jason, you might have more information on that.
Well, yeah, the article that I was reading, it is going to be, there's no set dates for any of the other ones, but they are going to do the entire series. Between, they're going to do some of them as film and some of them as TV, which is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do that, but this article is amazing that I'm reading right now.
Link it up in the show notes for us.
I definitely will, but initially it says a 2007 J.J. Abrams was connected to the film.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the lens flares going on in that movie?
So awesome. Many flares, guys.
Really?
And, you know what? I like J.J. Abrams, though.
Yep. Yeah. He's no longer doing it, but it looks like Ron Howard at one point was going to do it. Mm-hmm. Kind of was backing out, but but right now they're saying that he is still on track or whatever as of, well, it says 2015, but a lot has happened in the last 2 years, so it doesn't say anything
right.
if Ron Howard is still doing it or not. But check this out, man. This would have been pretty dang cool here. It said that originally Russell Crowe was going to play Roland. I wonder how that would be, opposed to Iris. I'll call him Iris.
Idris Elba, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, definitely still says Matthew McConaughey is playing Randall Flagg. So that's a cool. definite. And so is Jessica Elba. She's still playing Roland.
Looks
that's
like
weird.
Nicolas...
Jessica Elba is playing Roland. That
what?
Is amazing.
What did you do?
You
did I hear that right?
Okay, Idris Elba. I'm sorry. I'm completely wrong.
I was like, what nice. Are you talking about?
Jessica Elba.
They've got a Nicola Arcel is the director.
Directing it, it looks like.
He did Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Royal Affair, Keeper
and,
of the Lost
And Dumb and Dumber-er. Mm-hmm.
Did he really?
No.
Oh.
Oh man,
Bazinga!
I'm on IMDb right now, scrolling down as quick as I can. Like, I don't see that in here.
Right.
That's inaccurate information.
Jeez.
Questionable knowledge.
I was just gonna do that. Exactly. Dang it. You know what? I gotta get that sound clip. I'm just gonna isolate that because I can do that whenever we, you know, say crappy things like that.
Right. I can send you the sound bit without the music in the background.
Sweet, do it.
Well, two things here to follow up. The first book, Gunslinger, is written in 1982. Second book, written 1987. Third book, 91, and he didn't touch it. He went back to it in 97, 98, 03, 04. He wrote the last two, and then in 2012 came out with a final novel in there that actually I forgot about. Yeah, The Wind Through the Keyhole is the final novel in the
but
series.
But it's not the final novel.
Well, right. It's
4.5.
What do they call it?
That's pretty weird.
they call it a Dark Tower story or something like that.
It's exactly what Final Fantasy does. We got Final Fantasy 13 Part 3. You know, it's they decided to go off on that story a little bit more, that part of the story a little bit more.
Right. Right. And that's a thing you'll find as you're reading through it. There's the one book, I believe it's The Wolves of the Kala.
Yeah, that's number which five.
Which is later in there.
Shakala?
Shakala.
Yeah.
I did lie to you, though, Dave. I did read Wizard and Glass. I forgot about that. I did read Wizard and Glass, so I did read the first four. So I still have four to go, which will never happen in my life at this point.
It's you can listen to it on audiobook. Yeah, just I mean, we're again not sponsored by these people, anything like that.
We're not. Well, why not, Dave? Why not?
Because we need more listeners and more numbers. That's why. But
all right, well, if you fired me last week,
if you go to the app,
I'm going to take my audience
radio,
and go.
All right,
come on, you guys, you three.
Yeah, go to TuneIn
and it's
radio.
You two that listen to me.
Right. in the TuneIn radio app, though, I subscribe to that. I pay for the premium service. I think it's like $9 a month.
Big shot.
But well, the only reason I do it is because you get all your local sports, NFL and Major League Baseball, all of it. Mm-hmm. But you also get unlimited access to any of the audiobooks they have, and they've got a huge selection in there. You can actually listen to the you can listen to the entire series on audiobook right there. And he's got the guy that does the narrating is actually very, very good. It switches. There's one guy that does the first couple, and then I guess in real life he got sick, and I don't know if he passed away or something happened, but they had to get a new guy in. But both very good and a great way to listen to the story because it's an amazing story.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for this.
I haven't listened to an audiobook in a long time, but last week I did listen to one. It was pretty good.
Right. What'd you listen to?
It was called The Jaunt.
Oh yeah, The Jaunt. Yeah.
Have you listened to that? That was actually pretty good. I liked
Oddly
it.
Enough, yeah. We talked about it last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. A bit.
I enjoyed
great
it. I mean,
story.
The guy that was reading it was kind of femmy, but you know.
Yeah, that's all right. It doesn't matter.
it's one of those nice things. Yeah, like you say, Adam, unfortunately, you know, nothing you can do. You can't publish that. You can't put it out there. But very cool. Adam read us a story is what happened, basically.
All right, kids. Yeah, let's talk about teleportation.
Read us a story, cool. Daddy. Read us a story.
It was very cool. But the last thing I want to touch on with The Dark Tower, just, you know, for those of you that don't know what it's about, I know, Adam, you kind of asked to. I'm going to read just a brief summary here. Plot summary of the probably mainly the first book, but essentially, Roland is the main character, last living member of a knightly order known as the Gunslingers, and the last of the line of Arthur Eld. So it's that world's version of King Arthur, basically. It's politically organized along the lines of a feudal society, shares technological and social characteristics with the American Old West, but also brings in elements of magic. Many of the magic aspects have vanished from what they call Midworld, which is the main world the story takes place in.
Middle Girth?
Right.
I was just going to say, I wonder if we could get them to do the Midworld map for us.
Right. And I don't even know if I've ever seen a map. It's huge. But they say, you know, traces remain as far as remaining traces of magic and tech from advanced society. But Roland's quest is to find the Dark Tower, which is this fabled building that's supposed to be basically the nexus of all the universes where everything comes together. They say in the article here, his world is said to have moved on, appears to be coming apart at the seams. Nations have been torn apart. Cities and regions vanish without a trace. Time does not flow like you would think it was. Sometimes things run backwards, you know, sun rises in the north, sets in the east, all this weird stuff. And basically what I thought was so cool about this series is that it's got its own story, its own characters, mm-hmm. Just underlying through the whole thing. You will find as he's going through this large, you know, epic fantasy novel series, you're going to visit places that appear in almost all of his other books, get a little cameo almost, you know, and it's so much fun because he'll pop in and you'll hear them reference a character from somewhere, you know, maybe from, you know, the book and movie Carrie, or you'll hear him mention a place they're at and it shows up here and it's, you know,
possibly
it might not be
maybe
the exact
Pennywise.
Yep, yep. And you see a lot of different things like that. He did such a masterful job of weaving in references to his previous work. And I'm really, really excited to see how the movies handle that. You know, cool. It's going to be pretty sweet. Well, so.
Something definitely to check out. Now, there's in other movie news, there's a new trailer that came out today since we've been kind of talking about the superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thor, yes.
Ragnarok. So this trailer just came out today, and right before we started recording, Jason actually watched it for the first time.
Yeah.
What did you think?
You know what? I had to go change my underwear. It was that good. Seriously. I mean, I'm going to love this movie. This movie is my type of movie. And I had read that there's going to be a lot of comedy in this. And from that trailer, it did show some of that comedy, which I'm pretty happy about. But man, visually, it looks awesome. I can't wait. When was the release date? I was drooling. I didn't even see when it was.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I was watching. I watched it a couple times. Looks like November 3rd is what.
Are you serious?
Thor has always been in November. That's why I still haven't seen the second Thor.
What?
I need to watch it. I never saw it because we covered this before. Yeah, remember,
you got some time.
Yeah, I've got to get on it because it comes out during deer season, so I live in the woods basically for the month of November. And then by the time I'm done hunting, it's like Thanksgiving and all of that going on. I just don't get a chance to get to the movies. But
all right, I got a question here for you, Dave.
Right.
When you go out and you're hunting, how long, you know, do you usually have where you're not seeing a deer?
Depends.
And how much data do you have on your phone?
Yeah, exactly. Or you could just download it to the phone prior to that and just play it locally.
Can't, man. It'd be nice to do that, but I've tried in the past, like on Sundays, listening to the Vikings with headphones, you know, even just putting in one ear, real, real quiet. But yeah, you just can't.
The deer running away.
Yeah. But see, that's what you do, Dave. Dave keeps bringing his 7.1 surround sound system, hooks it up in a tree. Of course no deers are coming.
No, I don't. I have my phone with me, but I don't listen to anything or watch anything because you need your eyes alert all around you, scanning all the time, and your ears working. So, yeah, it doesn't work. Well, Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, either way, the movie looks good.
It looks sweet.
It looks fantastic, not good. Since
we've been talking about, you know, when is this coming out? When's that coming out? We found this cool website called superherohype.com.
Right.
We'll link to this in the show notes. And it kind of has the schedule, the tentative schedule of all these superhero movies and kind of related movies.
Yeah, like that's
Alien
the thing.
Covenant and,
right. It's not even just superheroes. That's what's awesome about it.
But before you go any further here, I mean, you guys know what Chuck D said, right?
No.
Don't believe the hype. Okay, go ahead.
It's a superhero hype. Yeah. So the next actual superhero movie that's coming out, May 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I'm looking forward to that.
Another one I got to watch the first one for.
You haven't seen the first one yet?
Wah, wah. Wow. I'm on top of my comic.
You got some explaining to do.
Yeah, I hit a little point there where I couldn't
get
to the theater.
Hello, say I'm home.
Yeah. Well, this is something we had talked about last week, right, Adam? You and I were kind of stumbling around like, what one's next? What's coming next? So,
right.
Well, this website
tells
Guardians
us. Guardians 2, yeah. And then Wonder Woman.
Well, hey, prior to Wonder Woman, though, Alien Covenant. Come on, dude.
Yeah. Let's hope
that
it's
is going to be good.
Looking forward to it.
This should be almost completing that whole series because was it Prometheus and all of those were kind of leading up to the point of the original Alien movie.
Yeah, and I thought Prometheus was good. Some people didn't like it because they didn't think it was close enough to Alien. But I thought
enough,
it was.
Yeah.
I liked it. I
liked
it
too.
Was good.
And was there one before that too?
No.
Or was Prometheus the first in that line?
No, right before that was the Aliens versus Predator 2, I think.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, that they went back and instead of rebooting the whole franchise, they're basically telling the story just prior to the Alien that we all saw, you know, when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a pretty cool idea. Pirates of the Caribbean number 5, meh.
Yeah.
I mean,
and speaking of reboots, they rebooted Brendan Fraser's The Mummy.
No, they didn't.
It's a completely different movie.
But no, it's well, it kind of.
It looks awesome though. Have you seen the trailer?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Adam, you disappoint me.
I didn't.
You
think it
disappoint
that good.
Me. Didn't you think do not. You do not bring. You do not bring pride to the family. That was a very, very bad old school mafia, but you know, I tried.
Yeah. Yes, it was so bad that they're coming after you.
I'll be swimming with the fishes.
Yeah, see? Wearing them concrete boots, yeah, man.
Cool. So, are we ready to move off of the movie topic?
No, no. You guys have any more? Spider-Man Homecoming, July 7th. We
talked about this.
War you for the Planet of the Apes, July 14th.
Yeah, yeah. Remember the, when they rebooted Spider-Man, they had Jamie Lee Fox in there.
Well, Jamie Lee Fox is hot. Do you remember when she was in that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, True Lies.
Yeah. Oh, I'm hanging my Jamie head Lee in Fox. Shame.
Oh,
such a weird slip. Yeah, I don't know.
It, I just got a long ways to go to catch up to Jason. Yep. Dave.
Yeah, I've got to tell the listeners that the hardest, absolute hardest thing I've ever done in my life was not been on the podcast last week, but still edit it. And I'm listening to what these guys are saying, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got something I can say for that. Oh my gosh, I can say something for that. You know,
and
just,
then the,
oh,
you know, the other harder thing that you did was you failed to write any of those comments down that we could have followed up.
I know. Today. That was my plan, and I failed myself.
Yep. He's really good at dropping balls, folks.
Mine are going to drop someday.
Oh, no. To
wrap up the movies. Change, we can rearrange.
I like when we all talk over each other.
Right. Wrapping up the movies, though, if you're a fan of the superhero movies, the action, you know, large franchises, 2017 might be one of the biggest in many years, because you started out, you had Logan, the Lego Batman movie, Kong Skull Island, which you saw. A lot of people excited about the Power Rangers. Ghost in the Shell out now, got kind of panned. A lot
what
of people
the heck
didn't
is that
like
sound?
It.
We're wrapping I don't know. Up the movies.
Oh, man. But coming up, I mean, you've got the Alien we talked about. You got Guardians 2, Wonder Woman. You know, you've
sorry,
got
Dave.
Thor Ragnarok, Justice League Part 1, and to wrap off 2017, Star Wars Episode 8.
Yes.
You know, I mean, cool. This is a huge year for movies if you like the action, adventure, fantasy, not just superheroes, but everything.
So everybody, what Dave really is telling you right now is quit your jobs, get a bunch of snacks, and get ready to watch.
No, quit your jobs, but definitely go check out some movies. I mean, are these the kind of movies that are going to be winning Oscars? No. But they are absolutely
nerd Oscars, definitely.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what?
The type
hey,
of movies that people are
going to
check
we need
check
to do
out.
That. We need to have the nerd Oscars. The three of us are going to start it. We're going to trend it where it's hashtag nerd Oscars. We're going to do a little thing every year at the end of the year for all the nerd movies.
Be pretty awesome to just go through and try and get caught up and in each year pick our favorites. Yeah.
Everyone will love our uninformed opinions.
Right. I can speak to the story and I can, you know,
definitely
just I can speak to the photo visual side.
Cool. Jurassic World 2.
Too much CG.
I found the lighting to be quite pedantic.
I think they used a little too much magenta in their color scheme, but
indeed.
Well, the dialogue was quite pedestrian.
But did you see that thing blow up? Oh, it's great.
There were lots of explosions and boobies.
Absolutely. So, well, I mean, we've kind of killed on movies. I mean, we love movies, as people know. But what do we have before we get? We're at the point we got to start wrapping up.
Yeah,
already,
well,
so.
We're gonna bring it back to tech a little bit here.
Yeah, right.
And so one of the things
the
we talked about before was
ever.
One of the things we've talked about before is keeping your password secure. Yeah. And I use an open source program called KeePass.
Oh, I thought it was KeePass.
It is.
I really did too. I bought the program. I tried putting a bunch of JPEGs in there, and it didn't work.
You were trying to put mobounce.jpg in there.
Oh yeah.
So key.
Izzy, can't you see? Sometimes your butt just hypnotized me.
That didn't. Okay, so.
Come on, that was pretty good. That was totally off the cuff there.
I'm going to try to get through this, guys. I know your listeners want to know all about KeePass.
Yeah, they're firing me again, by the way. But
KeePass.info is the website. This is an open source Windows program that is basically a secure password vault. And it encrypts the entire thing with one big master password. Right. It uses AES and SHA for hashing. So in other words, it keeps your stuff secure. So rather than have to have like an Excel spreadsheet or something or a Word document with all your passwords in it. You've
or posted on your monitor.
Right. You've got a protected password vault. And it's actually got some pretty cool features inside of it. If you hit Control C to copy the password, it'll actually hold it on your clipboard for 8 seconds, I think, before it'll actually clear your clipboard for you. So that way your passwords never even stay in memory. Nice. It's pretty cool. And you can put in all kinds of notes and stuff, and everything in there is completely encrypted. So I recommend it. I've been using it for a few years. I use it at work too. And out of the hundreds of passwords I have for different things, it's fantastic to have.
Right. That's and the problem, right? We get billions of passwords these days for everything.
Right.
I just have one correction, though, Dave, or Adam. I'm sorry about this. It is not just a Windows program. It's for Linux. It's for Mac OS. iPhone, iPad.
I've only used the Windows version.
Chrome, BlackBerry.
Oh, it's right on your iPhone as well, huh?
Palm OS. Oh, it's on everything, yeah.
Palm
just
OS?
Just go to keypass.info.
Do they still make those?
No. Palm? But yeah, they don't, no.
What? Those were like, what did they call those? A PDA? No.
Well, they did, but then they came out with the Palm Trio, which was a combination phone. So, it was the first smartphone. The Trios were the first smartphones because it was the Palm OS and a phone.
So KeyPass, the actual editions, works. It's Windows or Linux or Mac, but what you're looking at when it comes to those browser-based ones are unofficial ports that people have made to adapt them in there, but
is like the iOS version, is that an actual version or is it one of the, you know, unauthorized?
Like Adam said, it's ones that utilize, I believe, their database because it's, if you take a look at it, it says for the iPad and iPhone, there's a mini key pass, iKeyPass, Password X, SyncPass, MyKeyPass, PassDrop, KeyPass.
So that you'd have to be careful with because you never know what those companies are going to, if they're legit or not.
Too legit.
Yeah, I guess you'd too legit to quit. We would hope that KeyPass, since they're helping distribute, would
allow
be checking on a lot. Yeah, because
but you never know if they're just slapping a name on something and claiming it's doing something. And
right,
you know that's what always worries.
This is right off of KeyPass's website. It's their whole list of unofficial, unofficial ports.
Yeah,
but it is
those will be
listed
good.
Right off their website.
They're still listing Windows 98 as a supported operating system, so you know it's good.
Oh yeah,
awesome.
98 was the best. Right next to 95.
When I've looked at the security that they're using, it's actually good. They're using Advanced Encryption Standard, that AES 256-bit, which as far as industry standard encryption is really good. So it's pretty wild. I like it.
I think I tried it once a while back, but I you guys know. I don't know if our listeners know, but I'm pretty dumb.
Oh, they know. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
listen to where I'm going with this. What I do is I have a Google spreadsheet of all of my passwords. So if somebody was to ever get my Google Gmail account password, they'd have all my passwords. You know, that kind of sucks. I probably shouldn't do that, but I do that because then I have access to it no matter what computer I go to, phone, tablet, whatever.
Yeah, it probably wasn't great to tell everyone that either.
They don't know what my Gmail email is, so do not tell them.
Yep. I don't know either. The beauty of an encrypted file container. So what it does is KeyPass is the program, but you create a database file that's associated with it.
Right,
that file is what's completely encrypted. So that could be dropped into like your Dropbox or something like that. And if you can access it and have a program that can open it, if you have KeyPass installed on whatever device, then you should be able to access your password list.
Oh, that's true.
Now, is Dropbox, is that just a website that lists all the guys that have dumped their girls?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think so.
So,
Dave, you had a cool and useful site of the week, too.
I do, and this isn't anything new. Many of you probably are familiar with this and probably use it. I've been using it forever. On my iPad originally, then on my phone, and they actually acquired another company that was doing something similar and kind of took the best parts of that company and worked it into this. But it's the app and website called Flipboard. It's basically a news aggregator where people can create their own magazines, essentially. And so you go in and for example, I've got a bunch of mine saved and set up where I'll follow certain topics, you know, different photography things, different, you know, maybe I want to see stuff on Flickr from a specific lens, you know, or a group of photos or something like that, and it'll just keep feeding stuff in there. They have a really quite a few actually, but tons of different tech related stuff. I mean, anything you can think of, it's kind of like a RSS feed on steroids, where you're not just getting the brief truncated version of whatever it is. I mean, they're going to bring you, most of the time, it's going to bring you the full article right there in the app. So you don't even have to leave the app. It is web-based. You can use it. Windows 10, I know, has an app for it. That's actually really nice looking. iOS, of course, I'm sure Android. Just a really, really cool way to, you know, kind of not only enjoy stuff that other people are curating around interests that you're wanting to see more of, but easy way for you to kind of curate your own magazine of your interest or topics or, you know, inspiration. Or, you know, it's kind of like taking a mix of Pinterest and, I don't know, like a Twitter news aggregator, you know, whatever you want to use it for.
But it's kind of customizable to your taste.
Right.
That's kind of the beauty of it. So you're not just getting crappy articles and things that you don't want.
Right. You're not scrolling through 40 headlines that you don't care about because it's not something you're interested in. You really, really customize what you want to see. And what's cool is if you were out, say you're on Facebook on your phone and you see an article.
Okay, I'm
on
Facebook.
You know, let's say you're looking at the news stories. You click on an article, brings you into your browser, and it's like, oh, I want to save that, read it later. There's services out there like Pocket and other things like that where you can read later. But you can also go right into Flipboard and save it and into your own magazine and share it out publicly with everyone too. Like, hey, this is something you might be interested in. Mm-hmm. To the point where I'm almost kind of half tempted to look into, you know, if it'd be worth doing our own Digital Soup magazine on Flipboard.
Oh, that'd be kind of fun.
You know, just for listeners to, you know, kind of a show notes on steroids, really, where we can kind of point people and say, hey, here's the articles we talked about, different things and movie trailers. We can put all those right in there. They're all linked right on there. They're still on their original websites and just makes it super easy. But something to think about. I don't know if we're going to do that right away or not, but
as long as there's not any random testing or anything, we'll be fine.
Right. Well, and that's something we didn't talk about, right? We had a little bit of an issue this week.
True.
You want to talk about that, Jason?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Do we want to save that rant since we're running out of time?
That one might go long.
Yeah. Why don't we save that for next week? We're going to tease it. But basically what happened is we started something new, and we had an issue. Finally got,
partially reconciled. Resolved.
Yeah. Partially, but hopefully going forward, we won't have any more issues. But yeah, we'll definitely get into it next week because perfect. I could probably talk onto it for about a half hour or so.
Right.
But guys, before we do go, this has been 2 weeks coming.
Yeah.
But we have never revealed to our half a dozen listeners out there.
We don't even know if they care at this point, but do you want guitar for this?
Definitely. What the answer to the riddle was, and I'm definitely going to read it again, just so everybody knows. And then both Adam and Dave have, guesses on it. And unfortunately, we did not have one listener respond. So those listeners of you that responded to some of the other ones, shame. Shame on you.
It might have been a really, really, really long riddle, though.
It is. But I'm going to try to read a little bit faster this time. But let's go ahead. You were kidnapped and unceremoniously dumped on a deserted island in the Pacific. This island basically is 10 miles long and about 100 yards wide, and it's completely covered with grass and palm trees. And your captors, they have been nice, though. They have given you a few things to, you know, help you survive here. They've given you a supply of water, a life-size poster of Ginger Grant, a flashlight, a box of matches, and a blanket. So the first day you walk around the island, and you notice that you've got absolutely no chance of escape here because this island, there's a sheer drop all around it, 500 feet straight down onto just sharp rocks. And if those rocks didn't kill you, there's sharks swimming all over. So they're going to eat you. So even the rocks do impale you, they're going to come up and nibble on you like you're a kebab.
We're not talking about Dwayne the Rock Johnson, though.
No, definitely not. We don't want to talk about the Tooth Fairy right now. So there is no escape from this island, right?
No escape.
You go to sleep the first night under your blanket. You're waking the next morning to a sound of thunder and a bright light, flash of lightning, I should say. What has happened is that lightning has struck the far end of the island, and has set it ablaze. I mean, this is burning like name any riot that's happened in any city and magnify that by 10. That's how bad this is burning. Now, as luck would have it, there's a breeze going on, but guess what? It's blowing right towards you. So this 20-foot-high flame is coming right towards you.
Shucks.
Now, you're in the middle of the island. So you have 5 miles in front of you and 5 miles behind you of island.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming at you. I can't remember if there was a speed listed here. I don't think so. But it's coming at you. All you have is those items, and again, those items are a supply of water, a life-size poster of Ginger Grant, a flashlight, a box of matches, and a blanket. How, gentlemen, do you survive this? Who wants to go first?
You want to go, Adam? I know you had an idea, too, you said.
My idea is probably not going to work, but I was thinking if you could either take your blanket and tie it around something and hang off the edge, but then that might get burned. So you could douse it with water first. Use your water, wet the blanket, and tie it around something and hang down while the fire passes you by, or cover yourself with it and pray.
Okay. Dave.
Well, I'm gonna probably, you said you're in the middle of the island.
You're in the middle of it. Yep. Dead
fire side. Is probably say a quarter of the way across that space.
Well, it goes from the complete length of the island.
Right, between you at the middle and the end, the fire is making its way towards you.
Towards you, because the wind is blowing towards you, yes.
It's from the far end, about a quarter of the way towards you. What I'm going to do, first thing, is I'm going to go light a bunch of fires right where I'm at right now and let the wind blow away from me just a bit. And I'm going to let that fire burn for probably 100 yards, 200 yards. Not a huge area, but enough to make a firewall. Because what's going to happen... What is that?
That was applause, dude. You got it right.
That was the only answer because I was going to go all out.
Yep, that's all you needed to do. As Dave explained, you turn around, your back is to the fire. You light the grass in front of you on fire. That same wind that's blowing the fire towards you will now blow that fire that's now in front of you away from you, burning it. And once all that combustible stuff is gone in front of you, you step onto that. And when the fire hits that, there's nothing else. It's going to die out right at that point.
But there's a problem with that ending right there.
Well, you're going to get dirty feet.
No, that fire is going to rage and burn out everything the rest of the island, right?
Yes. Well, you're going to die of starvation, definitely.
Well, here's the thing. You might not have to, because if you then light that, and as that fire is spreading, take your blanket, douse it in water. So it's a wet, wet blanket. You then go along, after it's burned about 100, 200 yards, just knock that fire down with the wet blanket. So you've got this bare space. The fire that you set is out at that point. Then you can go safely to the grass, still have 5 miles of grass behind you. This island was only about 100 yards wide, so it's a football field, manageable. It'll be tough, but it's manageable. And then while the fire is coming at you, you can sit down, snuggled up, got your flashlight in case you need it, arm around your life-size cutout of Ginger Grant. And you guys can just, have a good little bonfire party and know you're safe and sound inside that firewall. And you don't even have to sit in the ashes.
Possibly, but what if the fire jumps?
Let it jump. You're going to die anyways. At least you'll have your arm around Ginger. That's what I thought. I thought way far into it. I had 2 weeks to think, and that's
your premise was correct. I mean, you did. I mean, you're way better than Adam. I mean, do not take Adam on anything where you need to survive.
Because nice.
Yeah, so a zombie apocalypse, leave him.
Honestly, I thought about the firewall, but I was thinking I didn't think about lighting it behind me and letting it go. That was great. I don't know. I didn't think of it.
So I'd be dead. Yeah, my original thought was douse the blanket in water, light the fire, and then let the one I just lit go past me. But then I thought, well, that's dumb. Why would I just not light it and let the wind blow it the other way?
Or you as Adam had said, you just soak that blanket in water.
Mm-hmm.
And after the fire has come a certain, you know, like say a mile in.
Jump through it.
Then you just run at it screaming, yeah. Jump through it.
Where are my eyebrows?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a good wind, though, you could maybe take your life-size cardboard cutout, tie your blanket to it, and get a dead run off the far end of the cliff in a makeshift hang glider.
And land in the water.
You'll at least die in the ocean. Yeah. Maybe you'll get clear of the sharks. I don't know. No. Starting a fire was the right answer. I'm kind of surprised.
So apparently making a parachute out of your blanket and jumping isn't the one.
Yeah.
Dumb. So, guys.
I was going to say, unfortunately, I don't have a new riddle. I did not get anything set up, so we don't have anything. Right. So hopefully one of these two guys has some wisdom to share, and we'll see.
Well, before we do that, where can we find us? Anybody?
On the interwebs.
Okay.
On the interwebs.
I would guess digitalsuppodcast.com myself.
Definitely. Right. Awesome.
That's right.
Awesome. Where you can find everything you need to do to connect with us, whether it's us personally or to subscribe. So, guys, please check that out. Share it with your friends. Tell your enemies. You know, everything. Just get it out there.
Absolutely. I mean, and as you're seeing, we call ourselves a tech podcast, but we definitely just kind of fill in the whole geek culture. I mean, that's who we are, and that's what we love to share and chat about, and we'd love to have more of you listeners join that conversation each week. So
absolutely.
DigitalSuitPodcast.com.
Right. So I don't know if you guys heard or if I told you this, but I had a tech that had third-degree burns today.
Oh, really? No, you didn't tell me, no.
Yeah, they went and touched the firewall.
Oh, idiot. He should know better than that.
Zing zing.
Nice. Bazinga.
A firewall joke. Timely. Huh?
Awesome. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, sorry, everybody.
That was perfect.
Yep. Well, perfect. From us to you, we want to say have a great night. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
Absolutely. See you guys.
See you guys.